Well, good morning once again. Don't you just love the songs of worship for this time of the year? Don't you just love that? And we sang that last song, It's About the Cross, because for the last 4 weeks, this would be the fifth week, the last four we've been talking about, why is the birth of Christ good news? We celebrate that. We celebrate as a church. We celebrate that, you know, excited about the coming of Christ, excited about the birth of Christ, the miraculousness about everything that is in it and the coming. We read from Luke 2, all of that, but as we've been going through that, because of the salvation that he brought in his birth and in his death, that's what we've been celebrating here at Living Word Fellowship. And as we continue that, as we celebrate the Lord's birth on this Christmas Eve, if you look at your outline, get that out. I'm not going to have you turn to anywhere in Scripture because I'm going to be reading a lot of them. It's going to be a lot of different Scriptures. You see them in your outline. And like I said, the focus is anticipation or anticipating his arrival. The word Advent means in Latin arrival or coming, and that's what we do when we do the Advent series and all of the things we're doing. We're anticipating his arrival is what we're doing, celebrating it. All through the Old Testament, there was this anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of God's anointed one, the coming of Israel's Redeemer. They anticipated it all. It's all over Scripture. In John 4:25, Jesus explained the worship of God to the woman at the well. She replied to Jesus, her reply to Jesus was this: I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called the Christ, and when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said, I'm the one that speaks to you. I am he. There was great anticipation in the Old Testament of God's people for the arrival of Christ, for the advent of Christ. Psalm 96:13 says this: For he is coming, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. So the people of God all through the Old Testament were looking for in great anticipation of him coming. Kids, I have a question for you today. You guys looking at me today, kids? Are you going to help me today? How much do you anticipate the arrival of tomorrow morning? A lot, right? What are you anticipating? What are you anticipating in the arrival of tomorrow morning? What's tomorrow morning going to be like?
A lot of presents.
How about over here? Yes. Oh, opening up your stocking. Okay, what else are you anticipating for tomorrow? It's birth, okay? Happiness with family, right? Good. Joy, right? You got to let us hear that one.
Sticky bread.
Yes. How many are anticipating the food tomorrow? Raise your hand, please. All right. So in the Old Testament, how much you're anticipating the arrival of tomorrow morning and all that it means, all the love and the hope and the joy and the family time and just what you're cherishing it. And right, Tom, you get a little older and those moments just seem to be just more glorious. Right, David? Debbie, right? You know, when you're young, they just kind of happen and you're just trying to make them happen and you're just, but you get a little more wisdom, maybe it is, more settled, maybe it is, I don't know. But, you know, the anticipation tomorrow is rich and wonderful and has a lot of meaning. And the Old Testament, the people of God in the Old Testament anticipated the Lord's arrival just like that. They anticipated the hope that would come, the peace, the joy, the love, the rescue, the salvation, the deliverance with the arrival of the Messiah. And now, in the New Testament era, as we are in the church age, God's people, those who have believed and trusted and put their faith in the one that came and died on a cross and gave his life as a ransom to many, the ones that put their faith in him in the first advent with great anticipation, we have for the Lord's second advent, don't we? That's what we do in Advent when we're going to. It's anticipating the arrival. When we celebrate the birth of Christ, we're celebrating the first arrival, the first advent, the coming of Christ to be the Savior, to be the Lord, to give his life for the payment of our sin and to die on a cross and be raised again. But with the church age comes this great anticipation of the second arrival of Christ when he comes again. It's a big theme in the New Testament. So for today's message, just for an edification to our heart and for an encouragement to our minds, what I want to do is I want to just share from the Word of God, from Scriptures, the anticipation of hope, of peace, of joy, of love, of salvation the people of God had in the Lord's first arrival. We'll look at some Scripture. And then I want to do the same. I want to do the same anticipation as we as God's church have in the second advent, the second arrival of Christ. Listen, the people of God anticipated the arrival of hope. Hope being the fulfilled promises that God has made. We all have the hope of God, the hope of Christ, the hope that all that God has said and declared in his word will be fulfilled in Christ, through Christ, all of it. It's the arrival of fulfilled promises that they were anticipating. In Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah recorded the words of the Lord saying, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And they knew that would be fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, in the coming of Christ. Now, they didn't understand it all, but they knew, anticipating that God had promised, there was a future and a hope, a fulfilled promise coming to you through the coming of Christ. Later on in Jeremiah 31 and 17 and following, the Lord declared, "There is a hope for your future. Days are coming," the Lord said, "when I will make a new covenant with you, not like the old covenant with your fathers and the ones they're under. I put my law within you, and on your heart I will write it, and you will be I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and you will know me." And what he's talking about is an intimacy of knowing Christ, a relationship with God. Never before, until Christ came, did anyone in that sense have that new birth, new life, where an intimate relationship with God, where God is ever present, your access to him is full, always there. And he said, "And I will forgive your iniquity and your sins I'll remember no more." They anticipated the coming of that. He's talking about the coming of the Christ Jesus and the arrival of hope and of salvation, of peace. It's like what the writer in Luke 1, 7 and 8 wrote. He said, "Because of the tender mercy of God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our way or to guide our feet in the way of peace." He came to guide us in the way of peace. The arrival of Christ for those anticipating, looking for him to guide us in the way of peace with God. Through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, we are justified, we are made right before God. And we're at peace with God, no more enmity with God. He arrived to bring the peace so we could be at peace with God. And those that believe in Christ, we have the Lord's peace. For through faith in him, he gives you his peace, John 16:33. Peace that's beyond comprehension. That's why we celebrate, isn't it? That's why we think about this and we celebrate Christmas and we do all of that because of what the Lord has done in his coming. And as believers in Christ, we recognize this. But the Old Testament people of God anticipated all of this coming. They anticipated the joy of his arrival. The prophet Zechariah, he wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation. Sing for joy and be glad, for behold, the Lord says, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst." That's why we celebrate the birth of Christ. Because it was Emmanuel, the coming of God, to dwell in our midst. And then when we believe and trust in him, God dwells in us. And then one day, at the end of all of this, the presence of God will physically be present with us all. As Craig, you were saying, what a wonderful anticipation we have for heaven's joy and all that God has planned. But the Old Testament people of God anticipated it coming in the Messiah. That's when the angel announced it's good news with great joy. Because it truly is. And the people of God anticipated his arrival, which God's love would be expressed. They knew that. Psalm 136 and 7 says this, "My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord." Hope meaning wait for him, anticipate him, for with the Lord there is loving kindness coming. That's what they're understanding. "For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. He will redeem God's people from all their iniquities." And all of us know the expression of God's love in the coming of Christ, don't we? That's what they anticipated. John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's God's greatest expression of his great love for us, in that he gave his only begotten Son. The people of God anticipated this coming in the arrival of the Messiah, not knowing about it all, but they had great anticipation looking for the coming of the Lord. That's why we light the Advent candles. That's why we do the Advent wreath. We recognize in the birth of Christ all hope, all God's promise that came in Jesus Christ. That's why we light that, and that we have all hope, that it's an anchor to our soul, all that God has promised to all who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace that we have with God and that we have with each other because of the work of Christ, to be justified, to be made right before God. And that's why we light the joy. For we have the joy of the Lord, all that have believed in Christ. He came to give us our joy, give us his joy. And that's why we write love, because God's love has been shed abroad in our heart through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why tonight we will light the center candle of Christ, because it's all upon Christ and the coming of him and the work that he did to rescue and deliver, to save us from our sin. And that's what the Old Testament people of God anticipated, and we live in it. That's the age that we live in. And now, with the great anticipation, Scripture says in Titus 2 that we are looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, in his second arrival. That we anticipate that. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:3, he says, we fix our hope. Now, remember what that means. We fix our anticipation of fulfilled promises, all our anticipation that God is going to complete what he started and do what he has said. We fix our hope on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Each and every day's hope, each and every day's life, fixed upon all that God is doing in our life and will do all the way to the second coming of Christ. All that God has promised for those who have trusted Christ for salvation will be fulfilled in the second coming. Everything will be. The redemption, the restoration of it all, Romans 8:18 through 25 says. We have a hope that does not disappoint, Romans 5:5 says. That's what we celebrate in the birth of Christ, because of our faith in Christ. Ezekiel said in chapter 34 that we have a covenant of peace. It's an everlasting covenant of peace that we have through Jesus Christ that came through faith in him. And one day, he says, God's sanctuary, his very presence, will be set in our midst forever, and we will live among all who are at peace with God and at peace with each other, Ezekiel 37 and 43, both chapters. That's the anticipation of the second coming of Christ. And there will be great joy among us all at his second coming, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:9. We will recognize each other and be full of joy for each other's salvation, is what Paul writes. Jude said that we will all stand in the presence of his glory, the very presence of the glory of God, blameless with great joy. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4, we will be rejoicing with exaltation at his glory. And love, we all know 1 Corinthians 13, but 8 through 13 says this, faith will be all fact, hope will be all fulfilled, but love will never fail, it never falls, it never ends, it will forever continue in our life with God in eternity, and it will grow. And in the second coming of Christ, it will all be realized. And in Romans, it says this, in the providential work of God, God will cause all things to work together for good to those that love God. And we will have overwhelmingly conquered everything through him who have loved us. That's the promise of the second coming. In 1 Peter, he writes this, listen to this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice. Yes, we do, don't we? We greatly rejoice in all that God has promised in the coming of Christ, in the anticipation of his arrival. And verse 9 says this, for we will completely obtain the outcome of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a complete, full salvation of our souls. So with great anticipation, we await his second arrival. Now, like I said for you this morning, that was to encourage our hearts or edify our hearts and encourage our minds this morning. And so today, as we are thinking about this and we have Christmas Eve celebration and Christmas morning anticipation and all of the joy that we have going on, the crux of the message, the crux of the good news of Jesus Christ, that's great joy, the crux of the birth of Christ is the second coming of Christ. In all of that is I want to share with you the message of the one who came the first time. He had a very simple message, Jesus Christ. He had this message in his first arrival, in his first advent. It will be all completed and all opportunity will be over in his second. And this is what he said in Mark 1:15. He proclaimed this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the one that we anticipated, the people of God in the Old Testament. That's the arrival of him. He came and his message is said, I will return one day soon to receive you to myself, all who have believed. So the time is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Or to repent, turn from our sin, and believe in the truth of the one that came to give his life. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to acknowledge your great love for which you loved us. You demonstrated it by Christ dying on a cross. You demonstrated it by Christ coming in the humility of coming as a man, an incarnate Christ, all the way man, all the way God, coming in a humble means, in a humble way, to live a sinless life, to give his life through the crucifixion, through dying on a cross, so that everyone who would believe would be saved from their sin, be reconciled back to you. That's really the message of Christmas, isn't it? We thank you for that you sent him. You sent him to come get us. May that fill our homes as we celebrate the birth of Christ. May it fill our celebration times, our family dinners, our time together. May it fill our hearts and minds each and every day. May we live what you have done. May we live in the grace that you have given. We give you praise and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Merry Christmas. We are dismissed for today. Great.